So up next on the stream of free radio, freakradio.org, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the April, 24th edition. Before we launch into the usual show, we're going to have a kind of a preliminary tip of the hat memorial to Cherie Peterson, a Huff member who died recently, just after she got into housing. Wow. And I'm going to play some clips from her, previous interviews I had with her around various issues. And we're going to begin with the April 22nd, 2018 show, where Cherie came on and began talking about her protest at City Hall. This was about a struggle against the abuses against homeless people who were being harassed by police, driven out into the rain after even the minimal shelter that had been provided by the Armory was discontinued in April of 2018, as usually happens around that time of the year, where the city rationalizes for itself, city government rationalizes. Well, it's warmer climate. People can survive for themselves outside, and they better stay out of sight or else they'll get $190 tickets. But that's their problem, not ours. In fact, we'll fund our police to do it for them. And this is a continuing process which has been made worse under the recent community standards and services ordinance, as it's called, the CSSO ordinance, which was passed last summer by the current city council.
Talk about what's really happening immediately out on the streets. As many regular listeners know, the winter shelter program ended on April, I think it was 14th, the night of April 14th. That was last Saturday night. I guess it would be a week ago Saturday now. And we've been following the activity of Cherie Peterson, we've got a lot of kind of discussions from her, reports from her, regarding her. She decided to go back to City Hall, which is where there was a survival sleeper / freedom sleeper protest for 2 years until it was driven away by unconstitutional laws and police activity created by Martine Bernal and accepted by the Santa Cruz City Council. Not good. But Cherie is the kind of woman who tends to stand up on these issues, or should we say lie down, under in a protected space, particularly when it's raining. She's in her 70s now, and she's disabled, moves very slowly with a cane or walker, or just hobbles about. Let's turn to an account from her. From last Sunday night at City Hall,
it's about 10 to 8 on April 15th. I'm here at City Hall in the Forbidden Area, sitting on a stone bench outside of City Hall chambers, and I'm talking with Cherie, who's working her way over to sit down next to me. There's no drinking fountain here anymore, but apparently a number of few people at least have come with you to take cover from the rain, which is kind of lit up, but you never can tell when kind of let on again. Hi.
Hi.
So you said you've had some friendly relations with the local security guard.
Yeah, I was visiting with the security guard for the last several minutes, and 20 minutes or so, and I was explaining to him what bad arthritis I have on the Salvation Army clothes, and it left a lot of us wondering where to go. So we were hoping that the city council would come up with a plan, or we could find a plan so we could be alive and have somewhere to be out of the rain. And this is so beautiful. I was pointing out to him, look at that palm tree and the because he does construction, and these I love these.
You like the city all around?
Oh, it's beautiful.
And you say that a couple folks came here with you.
There's at least four or five. I have cataract, so I don't know when the different men come and they say, I'm going to Trader Joe's. So several left to go to Trader Joe's, and I'd say four or five people are here. And we sat around and visited, and we all agree we want to be quiet and respectful.
Now, as it turned out, subsequent reports indicated there were, four or five people with her, and I believe that such people at the previous Food Not Bombs meal/peace rally that was held some hours before at the post office said they were going to come, but apparently they left, and I think Sheree also subsequently reported being harassed by security guards/police. One or the other. And we're going to hear more from her on that in a moment, or perhaps in a bit.
You were to attend, you have to move, and you suggested you might go across the street to the library?
Right. And I said I'd probably lay on the bark over there because I have too much stuff, and I don't want to carry it a big distance in case it rains because I can barely walk.
It is illegal to be on the city hall grounds after the closing of the businesses, well, an hour after the closing. I believe it's also illegal on the weekends, and it is similarly illegal to sit on the benches outside the library or to be on any of the overhangs after an hour or so after the library is closed. I think it has to do, they're slightly different hours, but these laws were put into place to criminalize protesters who began to sleep regularly outside City Hall and also across the street at the library. They had no legal place to go, as they have no legal place tonight, and they have no legal place for the last 25 years, those of them who are outside the overwhelming majority. Santa Cruz is just as harsh, just as cruel, just as gentrified increasingly as other larger, more notorious cities around this issue.
The security guard said,
fine.
So this is the person who'll be covering this place tonight.
Right. And his name is Jerry, and my name is Sheree, so I'll be able to remember that.
Up and up rather than on the QT.
Hey, he's a very nice person, and it's nice to find someone who's personable, who actually finds something in common with you, you know, because we all have something in common with each other.
Well, I see that there's a vehicle there. Looks like a truck. But it's probably not related to security services. So there, I don't see anybody else sleeping.
He's
anyone else?
The outside.
No one else is sleeping around here.
On and,
that's interesting.
No, but Ray was walking around. He's an older gentleman who's a... Oh, he did missiles, and he was a realtor for a while in Southern California. And he's walking around in here somewhere.
I told Ray I'd give him a call, and I'm glad you reminded me of me. He's the only person whose phone number I have here.
Yeah. And he's here. William is somewhere, because he said he's going to go sign up at Coral Street. And I said, William, it's after 5. You're never going to get to Coral Street when it's open. And he said, oh, no, it's open till midnight.
Well, but Coral Street does not have... drop-ins. It is not. No. It's not an emergency shelter anymore, as far as I know.
This is just a. It's a way to exist until you have a plan. You can't make your friends invite you over. You can't make yourself have too much money for a motel. You can't make people take you when you go look at a place. When the people behind you have more credit cards than you, a newer car than you, they're not homeless, you don't really stack up with people. I've come really close to getting a lot of places, and when you're just a touch away from moving inside and being respectable, and people treat you different. My friend used to say that they did, and I never believed that until I experienced it, and now I see people look down on you. and they think you're stupid. And that's offensive to me.
I would think so. Well, I'm going to try to find you some water. You said you were hoping to take one of your pain pills.
Yeah, I like to take them.
And then I will shove off to my land.
Yeah.
A comfortable bed, an indoor place.
Oh, I know.
And so
TV, can turn up the heater.
Theory, yes. Sure.
Go have tea or coffee.
A couple of dancing girls.
Have dancing girls. Come out of the cake. Massage. A little Japanese woman will jump out and walk on your back.
I don't know if we get into that. But
yeah.
And we've been talking with
Sherry Cherie.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you very much.
And I'm making the water trip, but it is, of course, in a way riskier for me than for Cherie, because this is a $300 fine zone walking along this brick path. And the rain is starting up again, kind of a sprinkle. But I think police are more likely to ticket me than her, but maybe not. Maybe we're taking the low-key approach. Maybe Andy Mills and the Rangers are, in spite of what I've heard, backing off.
And here's another clip from Cherie a year before, August 17th in 2017. Again, I believe at the Freedom Sleepers.
Oh, Cherie. She's got all this recorded. She can take whatever notes. Just keep talking.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to report that at 2:15 a.m. on July 4th, which would be July 5th, the police...
Great.
Gave me a ticket. My two friends that were standing next to me did not get tickets. Most of the people camping at the Freedom Sleepers did not get tickets. They gave tickets to about four of us, and I was targeted. Once again, I was targeted last week for another ticket for $300. That's $600 worth of tickets. And the police said I was obstructing the justice. I was on the outside of the sidewalk. There was a sidewalk available to walk up to me and give me the ticket. And I said, what am I signing, for robbing a bank or for murdering people? And, you know, I really think that the police had plenty of room to move around, and they didn't ticket the other 25 or 30 people camping there, so they shouldn't have ticketed four people or five people that ticketed last Tuesday night. That's why I didn't go last night, because I don't feel like being ticketed. But I don't feel like being persecuted for having to be forced to sleep out in the street because the manager of my apartment hit my car, and I shouldn't be evicted in the first place. But I am, and here I am, older than dirt, and I'm evicted. So, Cynthia Chase and Cynthia Matthews and everyone else in the city council, I dare you to be evicted and thrown out of your place and try and become homeless for a week. I double dare you.
And finally, here are some memories that activist Linda LeMaster had of Cherie Peterson. Linda was unable to come to the memorial. She recently just got out of a recuperation ward herself from back surgery. She had this to say about Cherie, who she learned had died. And this is some of that. You may remember about 10 minutes ago on this replay, we talked a bit about Cherie Peterson's death, thanks to the pharmaceutical industry and its fine medications, or perhaps you might say the health care of the care providers in the hospital who did not provide ways of tapering off of medication, or perhaps didn't provide adequate support for people that they did get housing for, because they did get housing for Cherie towards at the very end of, well, it turned out to be the very end of her days. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
And Linda, you've had all kinds of problems getting housing, but you also knew Cherie both as a Huff member, as a former Freedom Sleeper, and I guess, and you had a much earlier context. How did that happen?
Yeah, The earlier context? Okay, in about 1985 or 1986, she and I met each other when we were asked to attend by the government a mother's support group at County Mental Health. That's when I got to know her and her amazing laughter and her strength of character. And we were both fighting to keep our kids. And we were ordered by the state to go get our brains fixed so that they could fiddle with us more, I guess.
What year was this again?
1985 or 86.
Huh. That was actually, I mean, I knew you, I think, in the 70s, and I spent more time when I came to town to when you were working on Jane Immler's city council election campaign. But and I occasionally visited you during the 80s as well, but you were bringing up several children, and you also, you had a third on the way, or is my recollection correct on that?
Your recollection is not correct.
Oops.
I had three children by then, but I'm not going to talk about my children right now.
But that was how you first met Cherie. Or that's,
yes,
what you remember about that initial first meeting?
Yeah. We got to know each other through that process. Both of us were rather more active than the other four or five people who were ordered to go there if they wanted to see their children again. And it seemed so unfair to me because the impression I got, the way I remember it, is there were no claims that Cherie wasn't a good mother at that time, but the father was under the thrall of his own mother, and the mother-in-law was insisting that he take her baby away from her. He wasn't interested in the baby, but he won't give it just to the mother-in-law. So that's what Cherie was up against at the time. And I was a single parent, but that's not what we're talking about today. That was my friend.
Did you see her subsequently much after that?
Well, on and off over the years. Most recently at health meetings. And I was so delighted because I didn't always get to health meetings in recent years that she was there at the several last ones I attended. Before that, we were, let's say, ground mates at Freedom Sleepers. And I remember what I liked most about something she told me about the time during Freedom Sleepers was a protest that was weekly. And she told me about the time that she went in and confronted the mayor, and I wish I could remember who the mayor was. It was a woman. And
this was about at the time of the Freedom Sleepers? Or?
Yes.
It might have been... Oh, boy. I'm having trouble remembering. Well, there was Lynn Robinson, but that was before the Freedom Sleepers. There was a relatively cheerful woman who was a mayor, although useless around homeless issues as well, who preceded Martine Watkins and Cynthia Matthews. Then you had David Chirazes, who was there... But he wasn't a woman, as we know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm her. The name of the mayor you may be thinking of, I'm having trouble remembering too. But the actual name was Cynthia Chase. If it's the same one.
Okay. Well, it'd be funnier, I guess, if one of us remembered, but I don't. But I remember the story Cherie was telling me. She said she went in there and, there were times a lot of people that were supporting the Freedom Sleepers event would go in there together, but Cherie went in there by herself, and she confronted the mayor, and she said, "I need housing right now." And the mayor said, "Well, I'll help you, but not right now." And Cherie said something like, "Well, you better help me right now, because there's a whole long line of other people out there right now, including families with children, that need the same thing. You shouldn't procrastinate." And if you know Cherie, you know it would have been said boldly. And that's just the essence of that. It was fun at Freedom Sleepers. But then I saw her again at the Potty Wars. I wasn't able to spend a lot of time out on the streets at the time. I have lung problems. But we were fighting for opening of Loudoun Nelson and anything else downtown, I guess. And everybody gathered outside the front doorway of the Parks and Rec Department. And Cherie was there, and a lot of nice, great signage, including probably, I don't know if it was Food Not Bombs van, but somebody's van was totally decked out, like it was one of us, with great signs. And Cherie, who's legally blind, needed some sunglasses there, and she kept saying it to everybody that came by, but it seemed like they didn't really see her or hear her. So when I walked by, when I got there a little late, she told me, and I gave her mine, and then she's all worried about how to get them back to me, and I told her, those are a gift, we'll worry about the next pair later. And I want people to be aware of that's how I treat blind people who are trying to take some civic responsibility.
Yeah. That's something I've never mentioned, or at least I don't remember mentioning recently on the air, which was that she really had a lot of trouble seeing. I mean, she could see somewhat, but she couldn't read an agenda. At least that's what she would tell us.
No, and, she was legally blind. Mm-hmm. Just lucky she saw much at all, I think.
But she would make it almost every time to the Huff meetings until I think she. She once got abducted by psychiatric authorities because they claimed her room was too cluttered.
Wow, that could have been me.
That was in a hotel that, you know, during the COVID times. And I think it happened twice to her. I don't know what the other time was. She moved using a walker very slowly but with great determination. And she wouldn't press the issue about getting assistance. She would do it herself. For a time, she lived just a block away from the Huff meeting, which was convenient for her.
Right.
But then later on, it became a much, much more difficult for her to get to it. She insisted she was going to come even when she moved up to Boulder Creek. But I think it really, that took it out of her because I think she got apprehensive in Boulder Creek and didn't get out and you know, then of course had these problems with medication and didn't get any help with the medication, and so she quit abruptly, and according to her son, that could have been why she died. So.
Yeah. It sounds like many levels of neglect to me. I just heard this afternoon from a friend we have in common that when mental health incarcerated, they sent her to another county, which is a common practice here, but it still makes me angry every time someone I know gets cut off from any possible support they might have in the real world in order to be so-called treated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as I've said earlier in this netcast, it has happened to a couple of our members, and that's one of the issues that, I vocalize about to at least to members, but we don't really do anything about. There is no, and for the situation that Cherie was in, if she had been closer to people who supported her, they would have advised her, you need to taper off slowly, you know, here's some advice, so forth. But she was...
They'd have been there connecting with her.
Well, actually...
Would have been for Newell.
I mean, I have to say that in her final day, she was in Boulder Creek, but she had no phone. So she was unable to communicate with people at that time.
Yeah.
So it was it's a bad scene.
In Boulder Creek. She wasn't even there a month.
Correct. She was. It was there only a few weeks, I think.
Okay.
So I told you I just wanted to talk to you briefly about this. Anything more you want to say about her that comes to mind?
My brain is tripping out on the idea of mental health, but that is where we met in a support group that County Mental Health was offering back in the mid-80s. And she was fighting to have some contact with her son against imperious rich people that didn't even want them to ever see each other. And that's something I can identify with, too. So I just want to mention her heartiness, her sense of humor, and the way she used laughter to share and connect us. Who she was.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, back in the 80s, you had PERC, Psychiatric Inmates Rights Collective, and Mad Liberation Front, and various groups of people who were anti-establishment and were actually protesting abusive policies by the mental health machine, so to speak.
Well, maybe somewhere else like San Francisco or San Jose or Santa Clara, but I don't remember that really penetrating through the mental health building in Santa Cruz. Or if it did, it wasn't when I was there or when Sherry was there at the group I was with.
Yeah, they were independent of that group. They were outside that group. I mean, I think Jane Kaiser was the person who was instrumental, John Stewart and others in that group. But they didn't make their headquarters in the mental. They didn't go have much to do with the county. They were not interested in getting into that.
No, I'm saying they didn't get up signs in the county windows either. They left us in there for the squatter or for the poisoning or whatever you get. I should say, after having blurted that out, this was a good support group and we had a good facilitator. And everything about it, except the fact that it was required, was supportive. But my general impression of county mental health at the time wouldn't really have been able to help a mother.
I doubt it's gotten better, but I'm not in a position to say it, so.
Yeah, I don't see it better.
And so it should be said that you've not only had experience as a mother, but you also have had a lot of credentials and some testimony even in court as an expert on homeless issues after being the chair of the Homeless Issues Task Force run by the city, and of course its recommendations generally ignored by the city.
Yeah. Well, I did a lot more work through Community Action Board and Welfare Mothers Support Group at that time. And two judges gave me that, what do you call it, credentialization, and I've hung on to it since then. But I consider myself a peer to Paul Lee and Paul Brindell at the time.
Even Paige Smith?
Well, he was dead, wasn't he?
Not in the 80s, no. He was still around.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I look up to Paige. He's got all that academic stuff going for him, too, you know.
Well, I'm gonna leave it here. Maybe I'll talk to you again about this and other matters. And if you have anything more you want to say about this or other issues, do give me a call.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to realize you need to ask or demand what you need, even if you don't know if people are going to want to hear you. If you have a history with mental health, you have to have someone else in your corner. You have to demand at least a witness checking out what's going on. And it's dangerous enough that it could kill you if you don't.
Thank you, Linda.